Welcome to the Electrical Current Podcast, where you'll hear interviews with inspiring guests, discussions on important trade topics, and encouraging messages for the future of our industry's workforce. Now here's your host, Thayer Long.
Hey everybody, welcome to this edition of the Electrical Current. This is your host, Thayer Long, and we are very excited to have with us today somebody out of Ohio, the great state of Ohio, Mr. Darren Jones. Darren, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Thayer. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Darren. I'm doing great. Always good to talk to someone from Ohio, especially Cincinnati. So we're really excited to the Queen City, right? So really excited to have you, Darren. Darren, you are with Ohio Valley Electrical Services, and you're a project manager and estimator for the company. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I've been with the company for 18 years, been in the trades for almost 21 years now. Went through working from apprentice all the way up to journeyman and foreman, and made my way up to project manager and estimator, and definitely a change of pace moving from the field to the office, but I totally enjoy it.
What do you enjoy most about getting out of the field?
I am pretty passionate about estimating. I like the estimating side of it and then the project management side of it.
Yeah, that's good. What do you miss most about being out of the field?
Mainly seeing how stuff is made. I was on the industrial side, so I was able to see how products are made from start to finish and the process in that. That's one of the main things that I get to miss is seeing that happen out in the real world.
Putting the project together, installing the equipment, actually seeing something work. I think that makes a lot of sense. And I know that's why a lot of people get into our industry or get into the trades, is they like to, you know, build, and they like to see what they've built and see it work. So, all right. Well, listen, Darren, you know, you've been in the industry for, as you said, plus 20 years. There's been a lot of changes, and, you know, we always talk about that. Oh, everything's changed. You know, nothing is like it used to be, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But hey, I think we say it for a reason. And that is because there has been a significant amount of change in our world, and particularly in the world of electrical contracting. We've seen, and I think really yet to see still, implications with the, you know, convergence that's going on with various technologies, and in particular on the low voltage side, limited energy side, low voltage, whatever you want to call it. And for those that have been following IEC and have been following industry trends, they know that there's a greater amount of work being done in the field by electrical contractors that might be considered low voltage work. But tell me about your experience there, because I think this is something that, you know, if it hasn't happened yet, a lot of electrical contractors are going to see the wake-up call to say, hey, this has now got to be a growing part of my business.
And that's exactly right there. I mainly work with the BAS and the BMS systems on the mechanical side, and we pick up a great amount of work running the low voltage wiring between the RTUs, the VAV, the VRF systems, and there is a huge, huge market out there for that, and luckily I'm fortunate enough to be able to tap into that market, and it keeps probably 15 of our guys busy year round. So there is a huge benefit to it. And a lot of the mechanical contractors that I'm subbed through, they're actually more comfortable with an electrician doing it versus a low voltage data company doing the work. So yeah, there is a huge trend that's coming, and we already see it on the lighting side. I don't get to deal with it much, but on the lighting control system, everything's going to PoE on the low voltage side of it. But yeah, it's definitely interesting, the trend that is changing in our market, and hopefully in our favor.
And as you know, as a company that I would argue is probably even a little bit more ahead of the curve than others on getting its arms around the low voltage side. I mean, what are the implications if you're talking to a contractor that's really not doing a lot of the work or hasn't been approached to do a lot of the work? I mean, what are the implications, do you think, Darren, long-term for electrical contractors and looking at this at the low voltage space?
So mainly it's just getting down the control work. They all work off very similar systems. I deal a lot with multiple manufacturers of the equipment, and it's very similar. So once you get that core group of guys down and they've got it to a path, it really comes like second nature. But I think up front, it probably is. There is a little bit of control. You need to be able to do schematics a little bit. But I think that would probably be the biggest hurdle, is just getting a handful of the guys on, be able to understand the control work and the control schematics that they issue out. And then once you have that, you can go after any manufacturer out there and work with them. It's very similar work.
Similar work to just general electrical work, or similar work within the low voltage space?
Within the low voltage side, yes. They do slightly different than what we're used to on the electrical side. Once that's ironed out, it comes second nature to our guys, and we keep quite a few of them busy nonstop.
What about the contractor that says, oh, you know, running wires like running wire, you know, terminations are terminations. Doesn't matter if it's low voltage or whatnot. You know, if you're an electrician, you could do it no problem. Is that true? Or where's the learning curve that needs to happen for the technician that's out in the field doing the actual installation?
So when we first started, it was, we've heard that before. You know, it doesn't matter what the wire is, but you've got to have a pretty good understanding of what they're trying to do. Basically, it's not necessarily practice, but once they get into the rhythm of, you know, seeing their control, you know, schematics and going through. But yeah, it was an uphill struggle for us at first. And then we got into a rhythm, and quite a few of the guys picked up, and it's a huge, huge benefit to be able to offer, you know, just from our standard electrical install, we can actually do the low voltage as well. So that's mainly what does happen, is we'll get on site, because the low voltage mechanical guys, they're the last ones basically to say, oh yeah, we need somebody to pull wiring. Can you guys do it? And well, we can offer that service, and they don't have to go to a low voltage company.
Right. Are you seeing more and more contractors in your area getting into the low voltage work, or are they still subbing it out?
They're still subbing it out. We're one of the few that is in the low voltage market. There's maybe a handful that's in this area that we have to compete with.
And that seems to be a missed opportunity for some of our contractors. If we're already anticipating the technology's moving more and more towards this, you don't want electricians shouldn't be subbing out more and more of that work, I would think.
No, yeah, I absolutely agree.
And are you seeing it all, you know, as that low voltage side, right? So low voltage, let's face it, in the NEC too, it just was the telecom guys, right? The datacom guys, right?
Right.
Now, what are you seeing though on the low voltage side? I mean, a piece of data cable was really never intended to run a lighting system over it. So help me characterize this, and you know, you can agree or disagree with me, but my contention is instead of electrical going to the low voltage, we're seeing more of that low voltage work coming into the electrical space, because now what's being asked to run over these systems is more akin to the electrical side of things. Do you think that's an accurate statement or an assessment, or not?
I tend to agree with you. It is a gray area for sure. Any of the lighting systems that we install with POE will end up taking care of all of that, but there is jobs out there that there is low voltage contractors that are doing that work.
That's going to be real interesting to see how that unfolds over the next, probably the next couple of years. You know, kind of last thing on the low voltage side, since I know you do a lot of it, if you were going to recommend to an electrical contractor on how they were to get into it, would you advise them to set up a separate division, or would you have them train all their guys on low voltage? What's the best way, or the recommended way, for an electrician or electrical contractor to recoup more of this low voltage work? How would you advise them to do it?
And I would start with a separate division.
Okay.
You could take the, you know, a core group of a couple guys, and then you just have to try it. And you can keep it, if you keep it in separate divisions, you can track it separate and be like, okay, well, maybe this isn't for us. I hate to say it, but you could drop the control start of it. But I would definitely track it as a separate division, and then you can actually see if there's a benefit to that IEC company and if you still want to continue on with it. But yeah, there's a lot of that work that's in our area, and it definitely keeps a good group of our guys busy.
One of the things I had heard, and this may be kind of a segue into another topic I know we wanted to talk about today, and that's just about industry trends and so forth. A very wise electrician once told me many years ago that, you know, one day the most important person on an electrical contractor's job site is going to be, you know, not the guy necessarily pulling the wire or doing the terminations. It's the guy or gal, the person that has a iPad in their hand and is beginning to do all the controls and of the systems, right? Really doing all the programming, all of the control work. And, you know, I think in that light, you begin to think about attracting people into this industry, right? And kind of dispelling this notion that, you know, it's all brawn and no brains. And of course, we always know the electrician is the smartest guy on any job site to begin with. But still, I think to the general public, they're thinking trades are thinking, you know, they're not thinking about the technology and the programming, the logic that goes behind it. I know one of the projects that you've been working on through IEC this year has been looking at the retention and retaining of and the recruitment of people into the trades. So do you think possibly that, you know, with this building management system, this control work, this low voltage tie-in, do you actually think we could use it to better position our trade as a more attractive to people who ordinarily may have just thought of being in the construction trades as just a person with a hard hat and a tool belt? Do you sort of see where I might be able to take something like that?
No, yeah, absolutely. We're actually trending that way currently. Quite a few of our projects will end up using BIM coordination on, and we've actually acquired a couple people that were interested in that to be able to get that workforce there to be able to help out with the the employee shortage. So we're taking that, and we've started up past couple of years a prefab shop here in-house to help us with the employees that I think we're all looking for.
Right.
But absolutely, I think the technology is a good selling point to get more people interested in the trade.
I remember those commercials. It's been a few years, but the commercials where the recent graduate of a school would come home and say, I'm working for GE, and they'd all look at him like GE, and they're like, yeah, it's a technology company. And people are like, oh, you know, they think technology companies, they think of obviously the household names and brands and of technology like an Apple or a Google or something like that. But there is a lot of technology right now going on and being deployed in the electrical field. And, you know, I think if properly messaged, could be a strong recruitment, because we're going to need to have more people coming into our industry here pretty soon. So what are some other observations just as you're looking around and as we're kind of wrapping up here, Darren, any other observations that you've seen that others could model around on both the recruitment side, but also the retention side? Any other best practices that you've come across that we should be thinking about as we move ahead?
So we're early on into our research, but it looks like possibly like the flexible work hours, being able to do 4-10s, a huge selling point. I think we're actually working with a company that advertises 52 3-day weekends a year. That would definitely attract me if I was, you know, looking for a position somewhere. And I think that's what it's going to boil down to, is the field flexibility to be able to try to retain and to bring new blood into the trade.
You said you're seeing even the construction trades companies just running 410s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they'll cover the schedule, and what it takes is a very good second guy in charge, and then they'll even allow the foreman or the superintendent to be able to do that, and then they'll just rotate the days between Monday to Thursday and Tuesday to Friday to have that 5-day coverage that majority of the commercial projects require now.
Right. So finding a way to kind of create that overlap and make sure you've got that redundancy. I mean, I definitely have heard of people just sort of talk about it in theory, but it's good to hear that you're seeing it being put into practice, because you're always going to have to try it out and see if those early adopters are going to be the ones who are going to, you know, make it work or not make it work. What about just culture? You know, I think, you know, again, I think the construction trades occasionally get a bad rap for the culture of, kind of that, I guess you call kind of old school, you know, I'm going to really kind of put the screws to you to see how you handle it and if you can take it. And, I mean, do you think that that's been working against us? And do you think there's any, if it is it going to change?
I think it is working against us. I'll be honest with you. Yeah. And I was brought up in the times they wanted to test you. I was early on, I came from an industrial side, so I wasn't allowed to touch anything until I proved myself that I could do what they asked. And that was mainly cleaning out oil buckets, you know, sweeping floors when I was an apprentice. And then finally they realized, okay, he's going to listen. Let's try to teach him a little bit. And yeah, and nowadays, I'm sure everybody has seen it. The apprentice is just going to walk away, go find a job working in a warehouse or working at Kroger and making the same amount of money, if not more. So, yeah, I definitely think, and I don't know what the solution is. There definitely have to be a culture change, and then what that is, I honestly don't know what it is. It's changing every day, and the younger generation is coming in.
Yeah. I mean, I think you still have to find a way to have people prove themselves, right? I don't think anyone should walk in and get a free pass or not be held accountable for, you know, the accomplishing the tasks that you've given them. But on the same side, you know, building a little bit of dignity into it, I think would go a long way. So
and it is. That's what we're working through right now, and you brought up a good point as far as putting time to task. That seems to help with the younger generation, and we found it beneficial if you could, you know, reward them in some way, saying, you know, if you can get this done by this and everything's correct, maybe you get an extra 15 minutes of break or get to leave 15 minutes early, and that right. seems to help. But at the same time, yeah. Right. The labor hours have got to match up to what we're getting accomplished out in the field. And yeah, it is a trend that we definitely have to adapt to.
Well, Darren, listen, I've enjoyed speaking with you today. It sounds like, you know, the future is bright for our industry. We've got a lot going on the technology side with the low voltage stuff and work coming in. And I think we've got some opportunities to be better around recruitment and retaining folks, and appreciate your leadership on it, and look forward to seeing what the research unveils here, the work that you're doing with IEC and our Emerging Leader Program. So appreciate it, and thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me today, Thayer.